Back to the Philippines. One of the missions in the war zone was to refuel any stray manned helicopters that flew into our operation area. At Subic, we were to be supplied with a special fitting that the helicopter's fuel hose could mate to. Subic had none on hand. We really needed it. The captain, in his direct way, told me to get one, period. I thought that even though Subic was out, maybe Clark Air Force Base, now buried under volcanic ash, might have one. I hitched a ride over there with my requisition. No joy. I mentioned my plight to a mechanic who said that the helicopters had a similar fitting inside the cockpit, where the fuel hose connected on their end. Sitting out on the edge of the airstrip were some shot-up helicopters going back to the U.S. for complete renovation. They were boarded up with plywood. I asked the mechanic if he had a pry bar and a 2-foot pipe wrench. He looked at me sideways and gave me the tools. I mean, what could he do? I pried open a man-sized crack in the plywood of one of the birds and crawled inside. My introduction to the war. Inside, you could see daylight through the bullet holes. And on the forward bulkhead was a fueling connection topped with my sought-after fitting. I removed it with the pipe wrench and carried it back to the ship. Let the record show that during my brief stay in the war zone, a battle-weary Marine helicopter low on fuel buzzed the Johnston looking for JP-5, and we supplied it, via my hot fuel fitting. I know, I was there, down in the hold next to the JP-5 pump and praying, "Don't fail me now." While in the war zone, the Johnston would have two missions. One was plane guarding, following 1,000 yards behind the carrier during flight ops. We were a beacon for the incoming planes and right there if a pilot had to ditch and be picked up. But our big role was gunfire support for the troops on land. Our 5-inch guns were going all the time. To get our guns ready, the gunner's mates did a lot of maintenance work on our way from Subic to Vietnam. In the middle of the night, the 2nd Division officer, and in charge of the guns, woke me up. The after mount was apart, and his boys couldn't put it together again. Well, nothing like a crisis. I got up and dressed and joined him in the gun mount. There were parts hither and yon. His gang showed me this humongous bolt, like 2 feet long, that, I guess, held the breech assembly to the barrel. They showed me how they would thread it halfway home, and then, no matter how much muscle they used, it would go no further. It is not what you know, but who. I knew the R Division machinery repairman who gave up his seat cushion outside of Wake Island could handle this. I found my way to his rack in the R Division berthing area and got him up. Like me, he was needing a challenge. He immediately knew the problem. The bolt was machined to a very tight tolerance. It had been burred very slightly. We couldn't see it, but it was there. We all trudged down to his tiny machine shop. The bolt went into his vise. He covered it with a grinding compound, and we all took turns running a nut up and down the shaft. I remember all of us, 2 officers and the gunner's mates, a band of brothers, working on this in the middle of the night. When the nut spun free, we took it back to the gun mount and watched the gunner's mates thread it home, a job well done. While on the gun line in Vietnam, the ship went on 2 watches. For 6 hours, we manned the forward 5-inch mount, and half the crew manned the rest of the ship. Then we switched to the after mount for 6 hours. We called this port and starboard. In Kidnapped, Robert Louis Stevenson calls this turn and turnabout. I like that better. In the book, the first and second mate used the same bunk. One on watch while one slept. We called this hot bunking, but we never had to do it. Just a little historical note.